this offering, and just we know that you are our source and that you supply according to your riches and glory. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And just bless your offering and bless your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Okay. I got a little joke I'm going to tell you this morning. I'm not a very good joke teller, so you guys got to laugh because I'm not real good at telling jokes. No. This lady, she really loved the Lord, and every morning, first thing she'd do is walk out the door onto the porch and shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," as loud as she could. And she'd do that morning after morning after morning. And there happened to be a man that lived next door to her who was an atheist who didn't believe in God. And every day he'd just sit over and cringe and just get upset because she was out there praising the Lord. And so she went out every morning after morning after morning. And then the economy kind of turned bad. And her finances ran out. And she really didn't have no food. And she was praying and she was saying, "Lord, please send me some food. You know, I need money for food. I don't have money for my food." And she was praising the Lord in the midst of it. Well, it just so happened that the atheist happened to be by her window and heard her. And he thought, "Well, now's my chance." So she came out the next morning and there was all these groceries all over her porch. And she come out and she said, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," loud as she could. And the atheist jumped out of the bushes and said, "That wasn't the Lord, that was me." And she said, "Praise the Lord, you let the devil buy me some groceries." And you know what? It don't make no difference how you get it. As long as God answers your prayers, he can answer them any way he chooses. And I will preference this with saying, I don't really believe there's any atheists. They just think they're atheists. It's just that they haven't had a revelation of the knowledge of God yet. Praise the Lord. Okay. The title to my sermon today is To Be or Not to Be. That might sound familiar to you. There was a famous person that said that one time. I believe it was William Shakespeare, but I'm not quoting William Shakespeare. But you know, I want you to know that's something that man has been trying to answer his whole life, to be or not to be. And in Matthew 25:48, it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as even your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And you know, a lot of times our estimation of perfection is something that's totally unattainable. Because I don't care what you do or how nice or decent you treat people, there's going to be people who are going to find fault with you. And they're going to figure that you're not perfect, you know. And you know, when he said, "Be ye therefore perfect," you know, "even as your Father in heaven is perfect." You know, I took a look at that, and you know, when he said, "Be ye," the root word of that is this. I'm going to give you a little English lesson, and I'm not no English scholar, so bear with me a little bit here. "Be ye" is in the first person singular. It's summed and it's indicative of a prolonged form of a primary and defective verb. And it means this: I exist. When God said, "Be you," he's saying, "I exist." And when he says, "I exist," guess what? He's given you all of the power, all of the ability, everything that it takes for you to be what he says he wants you to be. Okay? Now, It also means I exist. It means I am and I have been. I like that. I really like that. That's good. Because you know what? As long as you believe, everyone who comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you have to believe that he exists. And when he proclaims something, it's as well as done. Whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it's really accomplished already because his word never returns void. Now, you might not experience it because you don't believe it at times. There's times when you won't experience it firsthand at that point in your life. But God has a way of getting you to where he wants you to be. And I like what Clarice used to say, God will let you believe what you want to believe to get you to where he wants you to be. And he'll let you believe things that are way off the wall for a while to get you to where he wants you to be. And then all of a sudden, your beliefs will change. And, you know, the word there for perfect is the word telos in the Greek. And it literally means, it comes from a word telos, and it means complete in various application of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. It's a noun. It also means completeness. And I love this. It means a man of full age, a full-aged man. Perfect. You know, when Jesus prayed, and I've shared this with you many, many times, when Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one. You and me and them. And he said that they might be made perfect in one. And the word for one there has the numerical meaning of one, but it also has the meaning, if you look at the Greek in it, it has the meaning of a full-aged man. And you know, that's what God wants us to be. You know, we were talking back in Sunday school a little bit, and you know, I quoted a scripture back there about in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, where it says that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, you know, until we come into the unity of the faith, unto a really mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and that we might speak the truth in love. And that's where we get askew out here sometimes. The things that we say, are we saying them out of a heart of love? Are we saying them out of a heart that isn't showing love? And I tell you what, in this day and age, you're hearing a lot of ugly things being said out there all over the place, you know. And you know, I don't know what God's going to do with all that mess, but he knows, and he'll take care of it all. But I will tell you this, we need to ask the Lord, help us speak the truth only in love. When I say something about somebody, am I saying that because I love them or because I want to see them come into a place of the love of God? And I tell you what, we'll find out that a lot of things that we started to say, if we put it up against that light, we won't say it. You know, in John 17, 20 through 23, this was Jesus speaking, and he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And you know, the world's not going to believe until we stand up as one in him. Creation is groaning and travailing, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. It's groaning out there. And you know, I remember an old brother telling about a vision that God gave him one time. And he said he was driving down the road, and he said as he was driving down the road in this vision, he looked out, and he started seeing animals, you know. Literal animals. And he said the lions were crying. He said all the beasts of the field were crying. And you know why they're crying? Because they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. creation out there is groaning and travailing. They're crying. That's why you hear the cry of people out there. They're crying a lot of hateful things, crying a lot of things that are just not very nice things from other countries. You know, there's tensions. There's all kind of things going on in this world today. But what their whole thing is they're crying, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. And what does that mean, manifestation? There's going to come a time when God takes the lid off. That's what that means, to take the lid off. And he's going to take the lid off of his people, and the glory of God is going to begin to be seen out of the midst of them. And they're going to begin to stand up as one and to speak as one man in the earth. You know, there's two men in the earth right now. There's the old Adam nature, which people are still trying to walk after, and there's the nature of Christ. And you know, the thing about it is that he crucified that old nature on Calvary. But what it is, that nature's already dead. It's already been judged and it's already dead, that old Adam nature. But I tell you what, until we begin to tell them that they've been set free, that they can walk in newness of life, that God's not mad at them. He's not holding their sins against them. And I tell you what, you won't hear that in very many churches. He's not holding their discretions against them. He's not. Because the word declares that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto them himself, not imputing their trespasses. And it also says that he took the handwriting of ordinances that was hung upon the tree, and he hung it upon the tree. That handwriting of ordinances was the law. Because you couldn't fulfill it, I couldn't fulfill it. The more I tried, the harder I tried, the worse I did at it. But I tell you what, there's a new law that he said, this is the new commandment that I give you, that you, first of all, love one another, and that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And if we'll begin to do that, creation will start beginning to see the glory of God, and they'll begin to want to come and find out what you got that they don't have. And I'm telling you, they're dying out there. They're dying for that. You know, in Philip's translation, it says that all of creation is standing on tiptoe, waiting to see this wonderful sight. And I tell you what, Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren, but he was only the firstborn. And in the whole Old Testament, you know, in the law, the firstborn got the total inheritance. But always concerning the things of God, the firstborn didn't get the inheritance. The secondborn did. And he was the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, many brethren. You're going to receive the inheritance. He said, Father, the glory that they've given me, that you've given me, I've given it to them. Now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. And the glory he had with the Father before the world was, he was the Father. He was in the Father. The Father was in him. They were one. I got news for you, folks. And this will go against some theology that's out there. There's not three gods sitting up in heaven. There's not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's just all God. It's just all God. Because our God is one. And it's just that's just a part of God. That's just the various aspects of him. He's one. And I tell you what, that's why Jesus had to tell him. He said, he told Thomas, he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, don't you realize the works that I do? These are the Father's works. And I'm going to tell you what, there's going to come a time when they're going to say the same thing about you. As the glory of God rises in you and you come to the full awareness of who and what you are in Christ, you're going to be able to say them, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because of his glory that's going to break forth from your inner being. You know, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before him, you know, the inner light broke forth. And Moses and Elijah appeared and was talking with him. And they didn't appear because they needed to be there. They appeared because the disciples could see him. Because what they were showing is that even the law and the prophets were in subjection to Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, the law was a schoolmaster. It was given to get us to the point where we realize that we've been born again of a new and an incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And I want you to understand, you know, last week Brother talked a lot about grace, you know, and you know, you're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. And in the Strong's Concordance, one of the definitions of the word grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. And when God's divine influence begins to come upon you, then it begins to reflect out from your life to other people. That's the grace of God. And you know, he's going to begin to increase his grace more and more and more. You know, there's another scripture here. It says, I got on a different page here. Let me get it for you here. It's Galatians 5:6. And Brother kind of quoted a little bit of this last week. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And I'm going to tell you, there's two witnesses going to come into the earth. And those two witnesses, a lot of people will tell you, well, it's people. It's a prophet and it's this or it's that. You can get all kind of explanations of that. But I'm going to tell you what the two witnesses are. Faith, which worketh by love. That's the two witnesses. When the faith of God begins to rise up in you to the point where you only believe what you hear the Father say, you only begin to do what the Father tells you to do, and your whole motivation is the love of God, and you want people to experience and to see the love of God, and you want to show them the forgiveness and the restoration and all that of God, then I'll tell you what, those two witnesses will be in the earth mightily, and the earth will begin to change. And it'll begin to change because you'll be an extender of the grace of God. You'll be someone who is doing nothing but giving out grace all the time. You know, Brother Eddie used to talk about people saying, oh, when you preach all that love message, you preach about greasy grace. Because that means you could slide in, you know, greasy grace. Well, you know what? It's not about greasy grace. It's about loving, forgiveness, mercy, compassion. That's the grace of God. You know, Jesus came in such a way, that's all he showed to people was the love, the mercy, the compassion of God. He was the beginning of the new creation in Christ Jesus. He was the beginning of God's new creation. Man standing fully in the image and the likeness of God. And I'm going to tell you what. As he is in this world, what's the rest of it? So are we. But we have to start believing, so are we. If we don't believe, so are we, then we won't fulfill the so are we part of it. But I tell you what, creation, they're groaning and travailing. They're waiting for us to stand up as one in him. And I tell you, you don't realize this, but people out there in the world today, they use that principle all of the time, and it works for them in the natural. And you say, well, Oscar, what are you talking about? Walk down the street here to Fifth Third Bank and go in there and tell them, hey, I'd like to borrow some money. And they'll check you out, and if you check out good enough, they'll fork over the money. Is that Fifth Third Bank's money? No, it's not. You know whose money that is? Yours. You know what they did? They used the principle of one to make a bunch of money. They got a whole bunch of people to deposit their money in there with the promise of that I'll pay you some interest, and I'll give you some checks, free checks, and I'll do this and I'll do that. They took a whole bunch of people who are not one with each other in the natural and brought them into a place of oneness. And that way they take their money, your money, and they use it to make more money for themselves and a little bit for you. Give you another example. Life insurance. Life insurance companies own some of the majority of things out there. They own a lot of things. I asked a life insurance man one time. I said, tell me something. He was trying to sell me some life insurance. I said, which is really death insurance is what it really is. And I said, tell me something. I said, what happens if you go broke? He said, don't worry. He said, that won't happen. He said, even if we go broke, he said, the other insurance companies will jump in there right away and shore it up. He said, because once the public ever thinks that they're not going to get the money, our whole thing is gone. Whole industry's gone. And what do? They come and tell you, well, you know what? I'll sell you $5,000 worth of life insurance for $23 a month or whatever it is, and boy, it'll take care of your family and your kids, and they really talk you up. And there's nothing wrong with having life insurance. Don't get me wrong. But what are they doing? They're taking a whole bunch of ones and ones and ones and ones and ones and pulling them all together. And when they pay you money, guess whose money they're paying you? Yours. Not theirs. Yours. They're making interest off of you. I'm going to tell you what, folks. The things of God work even when people in the natural use them. They work. And sometimes Scripture tells us that the children of this world are wiser in their own generation than the children of light. And sometimes we don't actually realize that the world out there is using godly principles. They're just not telling you they're using godly principles. And they're using them in a way of making money off of you, and it's not really them giving you the money. You know? Okay, in John 17:20-23, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory that thou hast given me, I have given it to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And remember what I told you that word one means? It has the numerical meaning of one, but also means abundantly man, or abundant man. And it says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved me as thou hast loved me. Ephesians 1:9-11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now listen to this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. You know, I believe we've seen him gather things together in the heavenlies. But there's coming a time, and it's coming shortly, I believe, when he's going to begin to gather together it in the earth. And the way he's going to do that is he's going to begin to give us the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the knowledge is the knowing of him, the coming to the understanding of who and what we are in Christ in him. See? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And I'm going to tell you what, when I first read that, when I was a real, real young Christian, I read that and it said, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, all things is how many things? All things. So you mean that means that even when we have all this chaos and elections going on around the world today, He's working that all according to his will? You mean that whoever gets elected as president, and I know a lot of people get real political, and I'm not trying to get political on you, whoever gets elected as president, that's exactly who God wanted in there? Oh, but Oscar, I don't like that person. I hate him almost. You know, hey, well, we've been talking about love. And you know what? We need to start telling the Lord, Lord, I trust you. I have faith in you. I know that you're working all things after the counsel of your own will. And I'm going to tell you something else. If he works all things after the counsel of his own will, there's a scripture that says God is not willing that any should perish. Oh, Oscar, what are you saying? He's not willing that any should perish? And he works all things after the counsel of his own will? But I thought Brother So-and-so was definitely going to hell the way he's doing. Well, you might want to think again. Hell might not be what you think it is. It might be a little different than what you think. I tell you what, David even made a statement one time. He said, if I took the wings of the morning and went to the uttermost heights, behold, you're there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. God's everywhere. You know, the biggest hell that you ever are going to have is the one you create for yourself. And I'm going to tell you, that's the worst one you're ever going to have, the one that you create for yourself. Because I tell you what, when Jesus ascended on high, it says, he led captivity captive, and he went and preached to the souls that aforetime had been lost in the day of Noah and all those days. And he led captivity captive, and guess what he did? He set them free. He set them free. And I'll tell you what, that's exactly the same kind of thing that he did to the woman caught in the act of adultery that according to the law should have been stoned to death. That's exactly what he did with the ones that when he hung on the cross and they were stabbing him in the side with spears and mistreating him and everything else. What's he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you think the Father heard that? Absolutely. And you think he did? Absolutely. Praise God. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Do you realize that a lot of you all have been predestinated? You know what predestinated means? It means basically planned out beforehand. It means foreordained. And sometimes you say the situation that I'm in, you say, God, how in the world could you let me be in this situation? He knew you were going to be in that situation. And you have a choice to be or not to be. It's your choice to be or not to be. Now, if you're not to be, you're going to go through a lot more hell than what you've been through. But if you'd be determined to be what he said up there, that word, the root of that word meant I exist. If you'll acknowledge that I exist, if you'll acknowledge that I am, and that I have been all along, then things will start to change in your life. And whether the situation changes or not at that particular point, your outlook on it will. And I tell you what, when you look from a different angle in things, you get look from a heavenly view rather than an earthly view, you can see a whole lot more and a whole lot clearer. And I tell you what, that's what God wants to do. And this is probably one of my favorite scriptures here. It's Colossians 1, 26 or 28. And this was Paul saying, he was talking about the great mystery of God. He said, even the mystery which had been hidden from ages and past generations, but now is made manifest unto his saints, to whom he would make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles. Hello, Gentiles. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He said, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. And this is why he did it. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Think about it, folks. That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. And this is out of the Message. And I really like this. It says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people. Free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free, either abundantly free. Abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in the deepest heaven, everything on the planet Earth. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Yes, you ever wonder, why am I here, Lord? I bet everybody's said that at one time or another. Why am I here, Lord? You'll find out if you get in Christ. Yes, you'll find out. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us. He had designs on us for a glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. That's a strong word. Everything and every word, everyone. You mean everything? Even the bad stuff? Big time. Praise God. It is in Christ that you once heard the truth and believed it, the message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment of what is coming as a reminder of that we will get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what, folks. God has orchestrated the things in your life. He has moved in various ways. You might not have understood them. I can remember, I've shared with y'all, when I was a kid, I had epilepsy for a few years there until God healed me of that. I can remember as a kid, and I was kind of stupid doing that, I'd go up in the woods sometime to get by myself, climb up in a tree and just sit there. And I'd say, why, God? And I wasn't a Christian. I hadn't committed my life to the Lord. I'd say, why is this happening to me? What's going on here? And I went through a lot of deep places of depression and things. You know, we lived on the third floor in an apartment building. We had a door that opened out the back in these old tenement apartment buildings. It was actually a door. And I think at one time there might have been steps or a fire escape or something there, but there wasn't anymore. And they just had a few pieces of wood like nailed across the door about that thick, you know. And you could open that door. And I can remember a few times as a kid standing there thinking, maybe I'll just jump out this window. You know, and there was just always something that kept me from doing that. And I know it had to be God. Because you know what? No matter where I was or how bad I thought I was hurting at that time, God was there. He was right there with me. And you know, I'm just telling you, folks, no matter what you've went through, and you know, I look at Savannah out there and all the things that she's went through with that little baby, and it breaks my heart for her, but it also makes me glad because I know God has shown himself mighty there. And I expect special things from that little baby as she grows up. Just watching her smile and move around and, you know, all that stuff on them videos just tickled my heart so good. But I want you to know, folks, God is mindful of everything that's going on with you. He has a plan for you. He's going to fulfill his plans in you. And I suggest that you let him do it on this side of the veil, and not on the other side of the veil. Because on the other side, the other side of the veil, it might take a long, long time. I don't know. I don't know. But I believe God's going to, he's going to shorten this thing up. And he's about ready to bring forth his glory into the earth. And he's going to bring it through a people. You know, in Romans the 8th chapter, it says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Not to us, in us. And that's because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, until creation out there begins to see Christ in you, Scripture says that the heavens must retain him. Everybody's saying, Jesus is coming back soon. He's coming back soon. Scripture says the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things, until everything has been restored. I got news for you. He's going to come in his people. He's going to come with his glory in you. And creation's going to begin to see the Christ in you. And when they begin to see the Christ in you, they're going to be set free in Romans the 8th chapter, if you read it real closely, into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. Oh, God, come quickly in that. Come quickly in us to the point of total revelation where your creation is set free. Because, Lord, they're in bondage right now. A lot of them, they're in bondage. But it's like that old song we used to sing. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. God paid a debt that I could never pay. And he did. And you know, he gave me a song one time. And the song he gave me, the words went like this. He paid it all so that we might live. He paid it all. What more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known when he ascended from God's throne, he paid it all so that you might live. He paid it all so that you might live. And this life is yours today if you'll trust him and obey. He paid it all so that you might live. And you know that's what it's all about. And he did pay it all, folks. Couldn't have paid no more than what he did. It was complete. When he said it was finished, when he was on the cross, it was finished. Because the completion of your redemption had taken place. And really the completion of the redemption of creation had been taking place. We just don't see the reality of it yet. And I'm going to tell you, I love the way the J.B. Phillips Bible says it. It says, creation cannot as yet, in Romans 8 chapter, creation cannot as yet see reality. Not because it chooses to be blind, but because God has so limited it. And he's limited it for a reason. And in the J.B. Phillips translation, in John, in the Epistle of John, or the Epistle of John, in 1 John chapter 3, it says that all of creation is groaning and travailing. No, it says, wait a minute, I'm quoting it wrong here. It says that, consider the affection of an old man. Here and now we are God's children. We don't know what we shall be in the future. We only know that if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him. And you know, it's kind of funny. The things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. What are probably some of the most watched television shows on television? Reality shows. Why? Because people are crying out for reality. They're looking at people acting stupid, and most of that stuff is staged. A big part of it is staged. But I'm going to tell you what. The things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And you can't turn on the TV without finding some reality show on. And let me tell you, that's only a sign of the times of what God's doing. He's about ready to break forth into reality through his people. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody would like prayer, we're glad to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I thank you, Father, that you're starting to let the light shine in our hearts. in the face of the knowledge of the glory of God, in the face of Jesus. And as that face rises and we see you as you are, we'll be more like you as we're changed from glory to glory into that very image, because that was your whole purpose. It was to bring forth man. You never changed from Genesis when you said, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. You have never changed from the beginning of that. And when we see the perfection of that, who we look at is we see Jesus. He was the man standing in the total image and likeness of you. And Father, he's the big brother. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And Father, I just ask you to begin to do a quick work in each one of us and help us to come to that total unveiling, that total knowledge of who and what we are in you, that we might begin to set creation free as your Spirit leads and guides us. Thank you for what you're doing. I ask you to bless your people. Keep your anointing upon them. Let that anointing break any yoke in their life that would try to bind them or hold them back. And Father, break down even the barriers of traditional religion in them that you said the doctrines of the elders had made the word of God of no effect. And Father, even break through the barriers that are there in religion that hold doctrines that are false doctrines, and they don't really glorify you and don't really talk about your mercy, your love, and your grace. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all praise, all glory, all honor, in the name above all names. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Praise God. If you have a song, Cynthia, you want to play or anything? If you do, you can. Okay.